If I were to give you a title for my Sunday school lesson, it will be What the Bible Will Do for You. In case you haven't figured it out yet, we believe in teaching the Bible in this church. I believe that as a pastor teacher, and that's how I am gifted, that is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And if you are growing and understanding in the Word of God, then I'm doing my job. And that's exactly what I need to be doing. So I trust that you are. We're going to start with Joshua 1:8 this morning. All of these verses are probably familiar with you or familiar to you, but we're putting them all together in this lesson. And I want to show you some things that studying the Bible will help you with. Some things the Bible will do for you. Some things God will make out of you if you will indeed study the Word of God and submit your heart and mind to it. Okay? We all need that. But it's a lifelong process. So if you haven't already gotten started, you don't have quite as much time left maybe as you used to, get with it. All right, that's the program for today. Ordinarily, as you know, I prefer to go verse by verse and preach expository messages. Why do I do that? Because context makes such a difference. And if you understand the context and you understand what a passage is saying, you're doing well. People who go topically never connect the dots. And you need to be careful about nothing but topical preaching. It's okay occasionally, but a steady diet of topical preaching will not cause you to grow as a believer. I just want you to understand that. There's a reason I don't major on topical preaching. It's because you need the verse-by-verse exposition, whether you realize it or not. Oh, it's not quite as exciting. Depends on your view. I think it's very exciting to watch you grow and mature as believers. Well, it's not quite as exciting as David killing Goliath. That's an exciting story, isn't it? Well, we're not going to do that one this morning. Anyway, God has laid it on my heart to pursue a theme throughout the scriptures. And we'll take this theme as far as our time allows, and I think we'll get through it, especially since we don't have any choir practice this morning, and I'm the only one going to be delaying the morning service. The poor teacher doesn't have to worry about me here. I have to worry about me. You don't have anything to worry about. Joshua 1:8, what does it say? It says, this book of the law. What is the book of the law? Well, it's at least, well, let's back off on that. She said the Bible. It has application to the Bible, certainly. But at the point in time when this was written, it might have been only Deuteronomy. But it certainly might also have been Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, as well as Deuteronomy. This is all the Bible that Joshua had, okay? But the principle that we see here is exactly the same as if they had the whole Bible, all right? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What's that mean? It means Joshua was to talk about it. But thou shalt meditate therein, in it, in the Bible, in the law. Joshua was to think about it, that thou shalt meditate day and night. That sounds like around the clock. Some of you may even meditate while you're sleeping. I don't know. I stay asleep, and I'm not sure what I do during my time of sleeping. That thou mayest observe that you, Joshua, may be careful, that you may take heed to do according to, what's that next word? All. That's a little word, but it's big in meaning. All that is written therein. Joshua was to obey the Bible that he had, which was the Pentateuch at the most, or Deuteronomy, and he was to obey it specifically and completely. How do you suppose that has anything to do with us? Same thing. We're to obey what it says because God made it for our benefit. You know, I was thinking yesterday, maybe it was the day before, you know, you don't really have any problems. You think about that. You don't have any problems, and neither do I. I mean, I look at some of you and I tease you like you're big, my big problem. But the fact is, you're not my big problem. I don't have a problem. Neither do you if you're saved. What you have are opportunities. God is in control of your life. Everything. Nothing can come into your life or my life without his approval. And according to Romans 8:28, it's for my good. Oh, some of the things I've endured, how could they possibly be for my good? I don't know, but God does. Okay? I've had a lot of good instruction, therefore, along the way, as have you. Consider, your problems are not really problems. They're opportunities for you or for me to do what God wants us to do in that circumstance, whatever that is. Take a different outlook on life and see if that'll help at all. Maybe it'll confuse you. It won't be the first time I confused somebody. That's the way, that's just the way life is. But I want you to notice, for then, when? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice that Joshua's prosperity and success would come as the result of his obeying all that is written in the book of the law. The same thing is true for you and me regarding the teaching of the Bible. As we study it and seek to practice it, God will make our way prosperous and successful. Now, don't count that in terms of money. That's not the idea of spiritual prosperity or spiritual success. You need some money to pay the bills that you accumulate, but you don't need to be billionaires. I can remember gas at 21 cents a gallon. I could fill my car for less money than a gallon costs me today. You know how that is. If you happen to be a little more mature like I am, okay, you can remember prices way back then. When my wife and I were first married, 1963, we were very young, by the way, but 1963, our grocery bill for the week, $12.50, and we ate well. Try that for one meal these days. You can't do it unless it's watered down soup. Maybe you can then. Our obedience to the word of God will make people of God out of us. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 is next. It's basically saying the same thing. Psalm 1. 1 through 3, blessed is the man, of course it could be the woman also, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is not seeking to live his life according to the advice of ungodly people. You know, the kind that are on TV telling everybody how they should live. I'm not naming any names lest somebody would say that I don't think that person is ungodly. Doesn't matter what I think, okay? If they're ungodly, they're ungodly. God knows who they are. But don't follow their advice. Get your advice out of the Bible. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't live like the ungodly either. Why? Well, he's saved. God's changed his life. The language isn't the same. I hear some people talk sometimes. I don't know what they're talking about. I know it isn't any good, but I don't know what it means. Isn't ignorance bliss? We sure hope we qualify on some things. nor sitteth in the scornful, and it means he doesn't choose the ungodly to be his closest associates. Yes, there are times when we have to be with ungodly people. At work, for example. In the store, the grocery store, for example. But we don't have to choose ungodly rascals to be our closest friends. But his delight, is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the scriptures. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Sounds like he studies the word of God and studies it and applies it in his thinking to every situation in life. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He'll be fruitful. His leaf also shall not wither. Means he will not be suffering from drying up. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It means he'll be spiritually prosperous. Think about that. Build your life on the word of God, and God will make you spiritually prosperous. Psalm 119, I've got three of those in a row here. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal, that's a big fancy word basically meaning how. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? And the answer is given by taking heed, by paying attention thereto, according to thy word. By paying attention to what the Bible says. How will you keep your life out of sin? By paying attention to what God says in the Bible. Psalm 119:11, along the same line, says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible in the heart will help you to stay out of sin. Psalm 119:165. I've heard this one garbled by a few preachers. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And what I've heard some say is that means that nothing's going to upset them. That's not its meaning at all. Its meaning is very simple. Nothing will cause them to stumble. Build your life on the word of God, and you will not stumble and fall into sin. What a blessing that is. What an opportunity we have to have victory in our lives by studying God's word. You're probably familiar with the next verse too. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's those mercies of God that brought about your salvation. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It means that you should offer your body, which represents you, or represents your life, that you would offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Holy means set apart from sin. Acceptable or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service, which means this is how you begin to worship God with your mind, by giving yourself to him. It does not mean which you can logically be expected to do. It means here's how you begin your rational worship of God. How often do you present your body as a living sacrifice? And the answer is once. Once you give your life to him, it's his from then on. What if you go back on it? Do you have to rededicate yourself? No, there is no such thing in the Bible as rededication. It's his. If you give me a gift, whom does it belong? Me. What control do you have after that on it? None. It's mine. I do with it what I want, right? By the way, I don't appreciate giving gifts to people they don't ever say thank you. Think about that. I don't appreciate supporting missionaries that don't say thank you either. What do you think of that? Well, we've got some we haven't heard from for a long time. I've been here quite a while. But these people can't remember the last time we heard from them. Why? Are they not thankful? Are they dead? Are they still on the mission field? Well, if we knew that, we'd know why they're not saying thank you. You understand? If God ever sends you out someplace and somebody gives you a gift, those two words, thank you, would probably be good to use. Thank you. I'm thankful for you people. I'm thankful you're putting up with me here today, okay? I'm taking over for Jesse today because I have to. What else am I going to do? Well, I could have had Dennis call. I could have called him an hour ago, but that wasn't the idea. Oh, then he says something else. Be not conformed to this world. The tense there means that they already are conformed to the world, which is what you expect unbelievers to be like, and these people just got saved. But they need to stop that conformity to the world. We do not want you to be living like the ungodly crowd. We had a prayer request a little while ago that somebody makes a profession, but his life doesn't demonstrate it. I'm paraphrasing. Well, what is your life demonstrating? It needs to be demonstrating that you're not one of the worldly crowd, but you're one of Jesus' own, and you're seeking to live for him. Stop being conformed to this world. But here's another one that goes on and on and on. How long does this one go on? The rest of your life. Be ye transformed. Be in the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew? How do you reprogram your thinking? By studying the Word of God. Let God take care of it for you. He will change the way you think, that ye may prove, that you might demonstrate what is that good and acceptable, well-pleasing that is, and perfect, hard to improve on that, will of God. The complete will of God is impossible to improve upon. It's well-pleasing to God, and it's well-pleasing to the dedicated believer as well. We don't know what God's will is for us later today. We might think we do. We've been surprised sometimes, haven't we? Yes, we have. Will we be surprised today? Well, stick around. You'll find out. I don't know how else to explain that to you. If we knew, we might not go into a particular situation. But God has not told us what his will is beyond right now. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Yeah, put him on like he's a clean garment. How do I put on the Lord Jesus? By studying the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit makes me more and more Christ-like. The more I study the Word of God and submit my heart and mind to it, the more Christ-like the Holy Spirit will make me. There's a verse that teaches that. We'll get to it eventually if I don't run it. Well, I'm going to get to it next, I guess, so we'll get to it. And make not provision for the flesh. That's the old sin nature. You still have one of them, you know. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Your old sin nature desires to sin. Don't feed it. Okay? Don't give it anything to encourage it. But instead, feed yourself on the Word of God and starve the old sin nature. That's how you grow. Always take in the Word of God and starve that old sin nature by not feeding it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Where would we, with ourselves, be looking at the glory of the Lord? It's in the scriptures. As we study the Word of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We are changed into Christ-likeness, the image that we see in the scriptures, from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another, and it goes on and on and on. And the more we study the Word of God, the more Christ-like the Holy Spirit is going to make us. He'll revolutionize our thinking, and of course, when our thinking gets revolutionized, so do our practices. And then I want you to see, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who makes you more and more Christ-like as you study the Word of God. So why neglect studying the Bible when you want to be Christ-like? Or maybe you don't want to be Christ-like. And somebody who doesn't want to be Christ-like, is he bringing his salvation into question? Maybe. Let's take that Bible and study it. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit will do a wonderful work in our lives and make us more Christ-like than ever before. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And I want to compare this with Colossians 3, 16 through 20. Because they're saying the same thing. But one is telling you how to do the other one. If somebody were to ask you, how can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and know it? Think about what your answer would be as we look at these two passages. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Be not drunk means stop becoming drunk with wine. When do you start to become drunk? With the first drop. Okay? Doesn't take any great quantity. Why do you suppose airline pilots can only have less than a 0.02%? Okay? We supposedly get 8% in driving. I drive down the road and I see some people look like they might be exceeding that. Okay? Because there's a lot of responsibility. It doesn't take much alcohol to get you to the point where your reactions are not right. And somehow alcohol gets people into sin too, doesn't it? As you know. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, if you just read that in the English, in the King James Bible, you're going to think wherein is too much wine. That's not its meaning. The word excess speaks of the behavior of the individual. Wherein is dissipation, wherein is debauchery, wherein is riot. And it speaks of the lifestyle that the alcoholic beverage will produce in you. That should not be something we as believers involve ourselves with. But be filled with the Spirit. Hey, that's good. How am I going to be filled with the Spirit? Does that mean God opens my mouth and pours in Holy Spirit? No, I might be filled with pizza. It's always a good idea, but that's not the idea. The idea is controlled by the Holy Spirit. How can I be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Okay. Speaking to yourselves, this is one of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have a song in your heart. Giving thanks always. Read that in line of what I said about missionaries who never say thank you. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a thankful heart. Okay? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, preachers sometimes take that verse out of context. And they want it to say that some days you husbands should submit yourselves to your wives, and some days you wives should submit yourselves to your husbands. Someday you people that are the prison guards should submit yourselves to the prisoners. Yeah, right. That just doesn't make any sense, doesn't it? Oh, no, I'm not a prison guard, but if I were, I would not be submissive to the prisoners. Okay? The answer is that in the context, it deals with three kinds of submission. One, the wife to the husband. Two, slaves to their masters. I guess that's three. Two is children to their parents. Do the parents have to submit to their children every once in a while? No, you're still in charge. You might give the child a choice, but it's up to you whether you do that. You're still in control. Well, you should be in control. You're supposed to still be in control. And then the other one is slaves and their masters. Those three are normal areas where people are to be submissive to one another. The inmates should not be running the asylum. The students should not be running the schools. Okay? The wives should not be running the families. The slaves should not be running the masters. The children should not be running their parents. Submitting yourselves the way God wants, one to another, in the fear of God. That's how to be filled, or that's the result of being filled with the Spirit. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to show you how you can be filled with the Spirit and know it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What's the word of Christ? It would be the scriptures. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And I want you to notice the results of letting the word of Christ, the scriptures, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sound familiar? You'll have a song in your heart. Just like in Ephesians 5:18, when you're filled with the Spirit. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You'll have a thankful spirit. Sound familiar? Yeah, it ought to. And then the next one. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit. Submit yourselves. Sometimes it may not be fit or appropriate, but you know, you that have been married, you understand these things. And it'll go down, children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing. And if you go far enough, you'll get into the slaves obeying their masters. Do you understand the results of having the word of God filling your life are identical with the results of the Holy Spirit filling your life? And then you add one more thing. Who is the divine author of the scripture? It's the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit? You can be. It's not complicated. Oh, I know. I've heard preachers get up and they give six or eight steps how you can be filled with the Spirit. There's a simple step. Study the Bible and do what it says. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll know it. I'm on my high horse, right? Yes, indeed. I do get excited once in a while. Okay, I'll just calm myself down. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Conduct your life in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and you'll stay out of sin. You'll stay away from the desire of the old sin nature. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You've got an inner conflict between the Holy Spirit and your old sin nature. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But who's led by the Spirit? Saved people. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of those are immorality related. Idolatry. Wherever you find the immorality, you find the idolatry. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, even putting up with me, okay? Gentleness. If somebody's not gentle, is he filled with the Spirit? Goodness, faith, meekness, absence of self, temperance, self-control. Against such there's no law. Nobody's passing any laws against those things. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, make every effort, it means, endeavor, to show thyself, meaning to present yourself approved, which means approved or tried and true or genuine unto God, a workman or worker that needeth not to be ashamed. That is, he's unashamed because he's served the Lord faithfully and to the best of his ability over an extended period of time. There will be no need of shame when he gives an account of his ministry before the Lord. By contrast, a worker who does not serve faithfully or to the best of his ability throughout his entire ministry will have every reason to be ashamed both now and when he meets the Lord. He's to be rightly dividing, which means correctly or accurately analyzing the word of truth. Preacher that cannot analyze the scripture is not qualified, which refers to the content of Christianity as the absolute truth. And then there's 2 Timothy 3:15 down through 4:4. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's good for you, for doctrine. What's doctrine? Teaching. Isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing? Teaching. Why do people resist that? Reproof tells me when I'm wrong. Correction tells me how to straighten it out. Instruction in righteousness, it tells me how to live a righteous, godly life. That word translated instruction there is the same word translated chastisement in other places. Interesting, isn't it? You run that one down your thought process and see what he come up with. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and following. That the man of God, that the man there is generic, so it includes the ladies, may be perfect, meaning mature, throughly furnished unto all good works, fully equipped to live for the Lord. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. That's not the ones that can run really fast. Those are the living ones, the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. When you preach the word, what are you preaching? Just the gospel, or are you teaching the Bible? Be instant in season, out of season. Sounds like there's only two seasons, right? It's like hunting. It's either in season or it's not. Be instant. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And do you know what the next word is? Doctrine. That's teaching or instruction. If I'm teaching you, I'm doing my job. If I'm just exhorting you and or entertaining you, I should be fired. That's not the job of a pastor. You want to be entertained? Stay home and watch TV. That'll make you sick, so come back to church then. Get right with the Lord. For the time will come when they will not endure sound, what's the next word? Doctrine. They won't endure it. They don't want teaching or instruction. They want tickling of the ears. I'm not an ear tickler. But after their own lust, their own cravings, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It isn't the teachers who have the ears that itch. It's the people that have the ears that itch, that want their ears to be tickled. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We need correct doctrine taught. James chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. I know, I'm over time. It's okay. I'm in charge. I won't get upset. I've got two passages to go, and then I've got a summary. And it won't take me long. Give me about three or four more minutes. And if we start the next service a couple minutes late, it won't be the first time. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, that's excess of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, not only from sin and its consequences, but to give you deliverance from sin in your lives. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And 2 Peter 1:15 through 21, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease, that's my death, Peter's the writer, to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. That's speaking of the transfiguration. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You pay attention to the scriptures. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, since there's no second, it's knowing this especially, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It means all the scripture will harmonize. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The point is, the scriptures will not contradict each other because the Holy Spirit is the divine author. Now, let me summarize. If I do what the scriptures say, I will be prosperous and have good success. I will be like a fruitful and well-watered tree. I will cleanse my way and be kept from sin. I will be able to discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in my life. I'll be Christ-like in my life. I'll be filled with the Spirit. I'll have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I'll be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I'll have Christ arise in my heart, which means I'll be more and more Christ-like, which all raises a very interesting question. If the Bible will do all of this for me, and it will it not also do all of this for the people to whom I preach? And the answer is, yes, it will, if they'll give their hearts and minds to it. Then why is there so much preaching in fundamentalism today, which in reality is scriptureless? Could it be that we are really no longer a people of the book the way we Baptists should be? Unfortunately, this is all too true in too many places. Too many pastors across America are failing to teach the Bible to their congregations, and too many people are content with the pulpit pablum they get when they attend church. In addition, too many laymen are not studying their Bibles on their own. Let's determine that although it may be true in some places, it will never be true in my life or in my ministry. Let's build our lives and our ministries on the solid footing of the Word of God and not on pablum, and I'm done. Let's pray, okay? Sorry I'm a little late, but not so sorry that I didn't do it. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for thy word. Help us to study it, to know it, to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.